everybody.
Hi, guys. Well, from beautiful Salt Lake City, Utah,
it's Thank God I'm Atheist,
the podcast.
I'm Frank Feldman.
And I'm Dan Beecher.
And coming up today... What's coming up today, Dan?
We're going to be talking about some interesting thoughts. Things have sort of come across my desk.
Oh.
Come across my desk. That sounds like a thing people say, right? Anyway,
sure.
Some stuff. I saw some stuff about sort of the origins. It helped illuminate where this alt-right racist resurgence has been bubbling out of.
Yeah,
and we're going to talk a bit about that.
And it has religious ties, and that's why we're.
Of course, it does. Of course it does.
Like, why wouldn't it?
That's just
in this country.
Welcome to reality, where racism comes from religion, or is inextricably linked. Anyway,
yeah.
So there you go. Yeah. We'll be talking about that later. But for now, what do you got? What are we going to be talking about now?
Well, I have the story, Dan, of some hubbub.
Ooh,
hubbub in Rotterdam.
I think that was a movie in the 70s, wasn't it? Hubbub in Rotterdam?
Perhaps. The city council of Rotterdam, that's of course in the Netherlands.
Yes, indeed.
Has produced a series of posters that are meant to promote people of faith being able to sort of date whomever they want. Because there's a lot of conservative groups that...
They weren't allowed to before?
By their faith groups.
Oh, okay.
So take, for example, Orthodox Jews.
Yeah.
Or Muslims. There's a lot of pressure to date within the community.
Right.
And so they have produced a poster that shows a woman in a hijab embracing and kissing a Jewish man in a yarmulke. Right.
Wow.
So, and the little line at the top says something about in the Netherlands, you can date whomever you like or something along those lines, right?
Wow.
And
so fuck your imam and screw your rabbi. Do your damn self. You do yeah. you, babe, yeah. baby. It's all right.
Well, nobody is happy with this poster. No one.
Yeah.
Aside from the few people who were involved in its creation.
Wait, this is a government issue poster.
This is the city of Rotterdam
yeah.
is posting this, right?
Yeah. And I can see why nobody's happy with it.
You can date whomever you like in the Netherlands.
Hooray.
And I think that's actually the message that should be getting out there.
Sure.
Is that if even no matter what your church tells you, you can go and date whomever you want.
Right.
Right. But, feminists,
oh God,
have joined the call against this thing.
Okay, wait,
which is
can I track down their beef?
This one is really weird.
Is this one just no? You should leave the religion, or what? I can't. I can't put my finger on what their beef would be.
They seem to have a little bit of a problem with one of the people involved.
Oh.
In the whole thing.
Oh.
A woman by the name of Shirin Musa, who was a founder or is part of this group called Femme for Freedom.
Okay.
The FFF.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Apparently, she is a feminist, but she's a Muslim who wears a headscarf.
Oh, well, then she's out.
She's not far enough to the left, apparently.
Right.
But a lot of the Dutch feminists have some concern that she's kind of... They see her as a tool of the far right.
Sure.
Because she's not concerned about a lot of sort of the luxury feminism, as she refers to it.
I see.
Like these issues that concern women of the first world, she's very concerned about women... being able to wear or not wear headscarves, or
right.
being able to date whomever they want to, or for example, like the honor violence,
right.
honor related violence, the honor killings and
right.
whatnot.
Right. So she's focused on like
survival.
Basic sort of ground level in the third world. Like, these women are dying.
Right.
Can we help them, please? These women are being beaten. They're being murdered. They're being, you know, acid thrown in their face.
Right.
Let's deal with those. And maybe then down the road we can get to, like, you know, the sort of the more esoteric, conceptual parts of feminism.
You know, such as a campaign against perceived gender stereotyping in children's toys.
Ah.
Right.
It's not like...
That's the kind of thing that she doesn't care about.
Right. And it is an important issue.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I can see why someone who is a Muslim would have bigger fish to fry.
Right. If you're at survival level, if you're about women just having the most basic of human rights.
Right.
Right.
If you're concerned about women having their genitals mutilated.
Right.
Fuck your doll. I don't have time for that shit.
Right.
I get it.
Right. Anywho, they say that the, there's just a lot of people have problems with this thing. Clearly, of course.
I like the poster. I kind of want one of those. Maybe we can order one and put it here on our set.
Well, we could probably just blow that up. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Contact the city of Rotterdam.
People making out.
In front of what I'm assuming is a bridge in Rotterdam. Lovely bridge.
By the way, I mentioned our set. I want to remind our listeners that we are still, we're going strong on the video.
Woo-hoo!
That'll be up on our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
YouTube.com/TGIAtheist.
That is true. Yeah, check that out.
I'm going to move us along to a story here. I've got the Pope.
Oh.
And the leader of the Orthodox Christian Church, Patriarch Bartholomew, surrounded by lesbians. Absolutely surrounded
by lesbians. Terrifying.
Well, they're just on the island of Lesbos. So,
oh, damn.
I assume that means that they're lesbians.
I was hoping that there was something
a little
more.
Is that what you call a resident of Lesbos? No. They're actually meeting for a purpose that I really like.
Oh.
They have met, and they have together issued a statement, a joint appeal to the world's leaders, asking them to care that the climate is changing, to care about the environment. Basically,
it's just a joint statement. So please, please care about the environment.
It's basically that. It's basically, you guys... Do you see what's happening? And this is the thing.
Don't you think that this is really just targeted at basically one world leader?
I mean, no, because they both know he's not going to listen to them. I think it's just all reasonable people. But, I mean, you know, you've got, what, 1.2 billion Catholics.
Right.
You've got 300 million Orthodox Christians in the world.
Yeah.
That's some reach.
That is.
That is some reach, and these guys are basically saying they want those in positions of responsibility to, quote, to follow the, quote, consensus of the world for healing our wounded creation.
Oh.
So, I mean, I assume that they mean that the consensus of the world's scientists? I think that's what they're saying, because most people read this as basically backing the Paris Climate Accord.
Right.
And saying, hey, let's dig in here. We got work to do.
Well, you know, good. Good on them.
Yeah.
Give credit where credit is due.
That's what I'm saying.
That's kind of our mantra on this show.
They planned this message to coincide with, quote, World Day of Prayer for the Care of Creation. Whatever that means.
It is bothersome that, you know, the science couldn't just stand on its own, though.
Well,
it does take these two guys to be like, okay.
When I look at this world and I see all of the religious people who use religion as a reason to ignore the science,
yeah,
I'm really grateful for religious leaders who are like, hey, don't ignore the science.
No,
how
I
about
know
that.
Believe me, this is giving credit where credit's due.
Right,
but
it is sad that we have to go.
It's sad
to
that
there.
It has to go to that point.
Yeah,
that the consensus of the world scientists can't just be enough.
Right.
That people just, no, this is happening, and it's going to be bad.
Right.
Oh, Jesus, let's do something about it.
Yeah.
That can't be enough.
No. No, that's definitely not enough. The guys in funny hats and strange robes have to tell us.
And then there's just all this authority.
Oh, all the authority
voices
in the world.
They're so authoritative.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, I know.
They are. They're in charge.
Hats. That's what it takes.
Yep.
Okay, well, Dan, my next story.
Yeah.
Is about a, what would you call this thing? It's a
dinosaur.
Book. It's a book.
Oh, I've heard of those.
A bookmaker.
Oh, a bookmaker.
Yeah, for betting, right?
Oh, okay. Right. Yes.
It's called Paddy Power. It's Europe's largest bookmaker.
Okay.
It's up in Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
And they have sort of stumbled into this whole political bookmaking thing, right? And it's become like they've got some seriously good ones, right?
I'm not
what's
sure.
That
good
look?
Good what?
Good bets to be made.
Oh, right? Okay.
And good topics to bet
so
on.
Meaning, right? Meaning betting on politics.
Betting on politics.
Right.
Yeah.
I have lost a lot of money doing that. Just on one bet.
Well, nonetheless.
Hillary Clinton lost me a fortune.
Here is, here are some other bets that you could make, Dan.
Okay.
Or at least these are the odds. This is what's
this
so
is,
great
this
about
is
this.
Now is a great time to be betting on politics because there's a lot of action.
So,
especially in the United States.
Apparently, they have placed the odds of on Trump converting to Islam at 50-1.
That's a 50-1
bet, Dan.
Come on, you can.
Scientology is 25-1.
What? I wouldn't take those bets at 100-1.
And denying the existence of God altogether, 20-1.
Okay. Yeah, he's not going to do any of those things.
I think these are the ones that they have set up,
right,
to lure in people,
right,
for some of their other bets that you can place. Because
like
Trump.
The good bets that you want are like a pool on when Kelly is going to like rub him the wrong way enough that Kelly's out, sort of thing.
That would be good stuff. Also, the next word that Trump will misspell on Twitter being until 6-1 odds. let's see. They have odds for the Covfefe, sort of a related bet. Where were some of the other ones? Trump meeting with the leader of the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah.
33-1.
Okay.
I mean, some of these are just so fucking far-fetched.
Is that one that far-fetched? I could totally see him meeting with the leader of the Klan. I could totally see that happening.
Well, that's why it's 33-1.
33-1, I might take that bet.
100-1. I might. You should go do that, Dan.
Yeah, I can't.
Unfortunately, also, you can't book these.
No.
In the U.S.
No. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Let's see. A release of a sex tape involving Trump. 14-1.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say. That one can't be more than 20-1.
Let's see. 2-1 odds for impeachment in 2017. I think that's actually probably not very accurate, the way that things are going. Anyway, converting to Islam. That was the headline, though, Dan.
Oh, my gosh. Converting.
50-1 odds.
You know. Yeah, I mean, that's just him. It sticks in his mouth when he says that he actually belongs to his religion.
Right.
He's not going to convert. Like, the real religion of Donald John Trump is Trumpism.
Yeah.
He is God, and he doesn't understand why everybody else doesn't understand that.
Right.
So, like, the thought of him, like, oh, no, I'm going to convert to this other thing.
But what about denouncing religion altogether?
No, he's not going to do that either, because it's politically, it's financially expedient for him to keep that going.
Right, but he's such a fucking, like, anything can come out of his mouth.
I think once he's out of office, he could totally denounce religion. Mm. I think the second he's out of office, the odds on him denouncing religion become totally different. I'd put it at 5-1.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe 15-1. I don't know, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought that was just fun in general.
I think that's really funny. I could come up with some good religious-themed wagers on the Trump thing.
Yeah, like, what would yours be?
Like, I would be willing to bet that he pisses off his evangelical base in some fundamental way, and then they re-embrace him, I would say, in the next 6 months. Like, says something that would have, that should completely horrify them.
And completely alienate them.
Right.
They should never want to come back.
Right.
But they will.
He will do something, not even like some revelation from the past. He will do something actively in the next 6 months that should alienate them, and they'll still embrace him. Like, that's that kind of thing I'd put decent odds on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, nobody's going to take that bet, but.
No, I know. I don't know how many people are taking any of these bets, but.
Anyway, hey, I wanted to go back to the Pope.
You're obsessed.
Well, he's doing some interesting shit, including, you know, when you think about the Pope, when you think about a leader, a leader of a church, of a religion, you think if they were to give advice for someone who feels like they need guidance in their lives,
yeah,
it seems obvious where they would point you, right? To me,
yeah.
He has been giving interviews to a biographer, apparently, and apparently he recently said that there was a 6 month period in his life where he went to a Jewish female psychoanalyst, and it was very helpful for him.
Really?
Yeah. He's super cool with therapy.
He's from Argentina?
Argentina?
Argentina. Thank you. Argentina. He's from Argentina, right?
I think so. I think he's Argentina.
I was just watching Anthony Bourdain that was set in Buenos Aires.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that came up, is that the
Argentines.
Argentines?
I think so. Who cares?
Yeah. That they're huge fans of psychoanalysts.
Oh.
Analysis. Analysis.
What
I'm having a tough time.
Indeed. That said, what a healthy country.
Yeah.
Apparently.
They eat too much red meat, but...
I mean...
Their heads are okay.
Can you eat too much red meat?
I don't know.
They eat a lot, Dan. Sounds delicious to me.
Anthony Bourdain kept going on about just wanting a vegetable.
Yeah.
You know it's bad.
Yeah.
When Anthony Bourdain wants a vegetable.
Yeah, well... Yeah, my dad lived in that region for a while, and it was just like, oh, breakfast steak, cool. Oh, lunch steak, neat. Oh, dinner steak, okay.
Yeah.
Can we calm it down a little bit on the steak?
Dessert steak.
Right, yeah.
Snack steak.
What's in my smoothie? Oh, beef? Interesting.
Right.
Okay.
Right. No, and so that fits with sort of the world that he's from.
Yeah, you know? Totally.
But how wonderful for him to come out and talk about it.
Yeah, and yeah, is it so? And he's apparently quoted as saying, "One day, when she, meaning his psychoanalyst, when she was about to die, she called me not to receive the sacraments since she was Jewish, but simply for a spiritual dialogue."
Wow,
isn't that cute?
Interesting.
I like that a lot.
Huh.
So yeah, because let me tell you something. You know, Mormonism has this weird love-hate relationship. We grew up Mormon.
Right.
The Mormon relationship to therapy is fraught.
Right.
To say the least. Like, Mormonism has their own thing, their own institution.
Yeah.
That is a network of Mormon therapists.
Yes.
And you can go and see a therapist and know that they're LDS and know that they're going to be, like... meeting you at that level.
Right.
And yet a lot of those therapists are very good and actually will guide you regardless of your spiritual journey. And I've met people who kind of left the church because their therapist in the Mormon system was like, you know, you need to be healthy and you need to make the choices that make you emotionally healthy.
And then they left the church.
And then they ended up leaving the church.
That's wow.
But I mean, you know, if
you must be a decent therapist, actually.
Right. But that hasn't always been the case. There's also been the therapists who are like, let's get you some gay conversion. Let's solve your gay problem by electroshock therapying you into not being gay no more.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the electroshock therapy might be.
That's gone now.
That's gone.
They don't do that. No. But no. They did.
Then they should be held accountable for
right.
that.
Right. And they, but yeah, you're right to point out that they don't do that anymore at all. That they don't recommend that anymore. But then there's also the thing of like I know people whose parents were like, you will not go to see a therapist. You go talk to your bishop.
Right.
There's no therapy.
Right.
Therapy is what heathens do.
It's in a lot of groups in this country.
I think so.
That sort of suspicion of, you know, therapy and distrust of it.
Yeah.
That runs deep.
Yeah, in part because I think a lot of people, when they actually get themselves emotionally sorted out, mm-hmm. don't need the church anymore. And then, ta-da! Got a bit of a problem. But that's not how it worked out for the Pope.
Well, that's awesome.
So there you go.
Good Pope.
Yeah.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah.
I've got a product here that you might be interested in.
You've become a salesman.
Yeah.
Good.
It's an anti-aging wrinkle cream.
Okay.
I've noticed that now that there's video.
This is not going to work. There's video evidence.
No, you got some fine lines that are starting.
Mm.
And so this might be really helpful.
Oh, good, good. Okay. I do need some wrinkle cream.
Okay. Well, there's a fight over a very specific wrinkle cream.
Oh, no.
That has started up between...
Why are they fighting?
Between L'Oreal.
Uh-huh.
And Carmel Laboratories, LLC.
Okay.
Carmel Laboratories being owned by a group of Carmelite...
nuns? Is it nuns?
Well, it's a religious order.
Sure.
They technically no longer fully recognized by the Catholic Church.
Oh.
The Theresian Carmelites, which is this group... no longer meet criteria to be a Catholic organization.
Oh dear.
But they have maintained their nonprofit status and they bought the rights to a patent for some anti-aging wrinkle cream.
Oh.
Right. That they were selling, right? in order to raise money for the poor.
Sure.
Right. And for like their,
smart.
Their poverty programs. It was going for $65 a vial.
Oh my right? goodness.
And then along comes L'Oreal.
Oh yeah.
And they start promoting basically the exact same cream and infringing all over
their patent.
Patents.
Oh my goodness.
But this story of course caught my attention because of a religious order selling some vanity-based
well, you know what?
Anti-
Let me tell you something.
Aging cream?
When you're a nun, what do you have to show the world except the very part of your face that needs the most attention?
Yeah.
That it's that T-zone.
Yeah.
You know, you want to make sure that that's going to be wrinkle-free, have a nice healthy glow.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and again, there is no mention of nuns in this whole article. There's the story of it's the story of a former monk.
Oh.
By the name of Dennis Wierzchowski. I think that's how you say it.
Okay.
And
is this in the U.S.?
This is here in the U.S.
Wow.
And there was a study, right, that led to this patent.
Right.
It was done at the University of Massachusetts Medical School.
Sure.
And so, the professors involved in the whole thing, they actually, like in the article, are quoted as being like, this was actually a really cool deal, basically, because we felt good about,
right.
you know, this patent going to this company that's actually intending to do good with it, with the money that they make.
Okay, sure.
But I was like, there's still this like really weird thing.
Yeah.
About, I mean, I guess in the modern world, why should religious orders be limited to
religioning?
No, making honey or beer
right.
or sort of these traditional products.
Right.
Right. that were just the product of that people made and sold back in the day.
Yeah.
Right? So why not be able to, like, why is it weird?
I don't know why it's weird. It is weird.
It's weird.
It's not normal. That's not normal. That's strange.
So anyway, so that's happening.
Yeah.
I
want to start a religious order that makes something. I don't know what. You know, maybe, I have no idea. Like, pharmaceuticals. Let's get into pharma.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not design, you know, some software?
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
Websites.
An app company.
Yeah, why not? And not anything like religious oriented.
No.
You're just making some money.
Who
so
knows?
That you can do your good deeds.
The next Bejeweled Blitz will be yeah. It'll have a Christ theme to it.
No, that's it. No themes.
Right.
Just
sell it to the mass market.
Some nuns or monks are making a bunch of money.
Make some money, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Why not? Well, I'm going to take us to Belfast.
Oh.
You had an Irish thing. I'm going to do an Irish thing.
Okay.
The new Lord Mayor of Belfast, which is weird to call them a Lord Mayor when it's a woman. Is it a woman? Yeah, I think so. Where's shoot. Anyway, Nuala McAllister.
Oh. I see your confusion.
Yes, it's a woman.
Okay, good.
Nuala McAllister is an atheist.
Oh.
And the new Lord Mayor. Now, that's
wonderful.
That's not going to create too big a stir in the UK. Oh, that's not the UK. In
Ireland.
The British Isles. In Ireland. In Belfast. Fuck. No, Northern Ireland. That is in the UK. It is.
Oh, thank God.
Good Lord.
Oh,
Jesus,
man.
God, it's hard to wrap your mind around all of that stuff.
I know, it's really
can they
complicated
just get their act
geography
together,
over there.
Anyway, an atheist, there are lots of atheists over there.
Sure.
They're not that hung up. Here's what she did, though.
Oh, no.
Are you ready for this? She did not have a prayer said at the dinner for her installation as mayor.
Well, why would she?
Well,
she's an atheist.
Except that everybody's throwing a fit because it's a tradition and blah, 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 blah. A lot of major religious leaders and other politicians are like, are pissed off about it.
Hmm.
Throwing a little bitch fit. I love that all she did was just not do a prayer. She didn't say a word about it. She wasn't trying to make a hey about it. She wasn't trying to make an issue of it.
Oh, okay.
She just didn't do it.
Oh, boy.
Free Presbyterian minister David McLaughlin called it a glaring omission. Said, I'm very annoyed at this very sad state of affairs. It's a further indication of the erosion of the Christian heritage upon which this country was founded.
Hmm.
Yeah, your country was founded way before Christianity. Right?
Maybe.
Ish? Country? I don't know. Country is a...
I don't think so.
I mean, there were druids there.
Sure.
Back to a billion.
Right.
Anyway, the Christian heritage upon which this country was founded. Indeed, it shows how far we've departed from our Christian heritage when we can't even offer a simple thanks for food. Other people went on to point out that you can offer a thanks for food.
Mm-hmm.
Do it yourself.
Yeah.
Bow your fucking head. Like, you don't have to make it. Everybody doesn't have to participate.
Right.
You can just do your own thing. And then the Hindu guy at the table next to you can do whatever he does. And
right.
The Muslim lady can do whatever she does. And then everybody can participate in the whole event.
Right.
Without it being, like, about you.
Yeah. You do your weird thing.
Yeah.
Useless thing.
Yeah. It won't change the outcome.
No.
The food will go into your belly and do whatever the food does.
Yeah.
And Jesus will either care about you or not.
Yeah.
The same.
Yeah. It'll either make you fat or not.
Oh.
It'll make you sick or well.
Yeah.
Or not.
Yep.
No.
Other people had things to say about it. There was one insider said,
There's no doubting that this is an extremely delicate matter. Grace has always been said, even by Lord Mayors who wouldn't darken the doors of a church or chapel.
Well,
but this mayor, this Lord Mayor, she's a youngin'. She's like in her 20s.
Oh, dear God.
So she's shaking things up, raising some eyebrows.
Good for her.
I love it. It's the right choice. The right choice is no prayer. You do your prayer.
Right. And if you're like on the record, you know, as an atheist.
Yeah. Everyone knows.
It seems hypocritical
to throw a prayer in. Or she would have to throw in all of the prayers.
Right.
She throws
out. How does she pick one?
Right, exactly.
She could pull out her 10-sided die, which, as an atheist, there's a good chance.
That she plays D&D.
She's got some D&D going on. And she rolls it, and, you know, it's a five. And
what's five on my chart? Oh, it's Hindu today.
Woohoo!
Just figure out all of the religions that are represented in Belfast, yeah. and just, yeah, go with one of them.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd like that either. I don't think they'd be satisfied with that.
No, probably not.
So,
no.
There you go.
I imagine not.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a better solution to the Lord Mayor of Belfast's prayer situation, you can write to us and we will solve it for her.
Yeah.
podcast@thankgodimatheist.com.
Or you could call and leave us a voicemail message. The telephone number is 424-666-8442.
It is. Go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/TGIAtheist, and click that like button.
And while you're on Facebook, search for the TGIA Members Only Lounge. Request to join. It is a closed group, but we'll let you in.
Indeed we will.
So, Dan.
Yes, sir.
Lance Wallnau, he's a kind of a newish one for us. We've played him before.
Yeah.
Do we really know who this Yahoo is?
I don't. All I know is that I pulled up pictures of him, and he has a melange of bad hair pieces. I will say that.
Yeah. Wallnau. I wonder if he uses the monk's anti-aging cream.
He should.
His face looks a little on the tight side.
Yeah.
So he's been up to something. Anyway, here he is talking about the left.
He's an author. And, he's written a bunch of books and stuff. Anyway, yeah, he's got a lot to say.
He's got a lot to say about, what we're up to.
And the word I got was, and it was kind of like a warning. I'm telling you, this is very accurate. This was about 10 months ago. And the word was, Lance, somehow there's a revival of this Nazi thing. We keep seeing this Nazi symbol over the United States. Now, what they were picking up on wasn't white supremacists. What they were picking up on is the Nazi strategy of propaganda that is being used right now by the media democratic industrial complex in order to brainwash America so that they can recapture control and hopefully remove Trump from power. The only way that you can maintain your sanity is to understand Nazi propaganda and how it's being used by the left in order to create a division in America. What an extraordinary perversion of history, because it's Nazi tactics on the left to accuse the right and Donald Trump and Christians, and every white person in America who voted Republican, they're all closet Nazis. You hear what this is? So the quote from Goebbels is, a lie told once remains a lie, but a lie told 1,000 times becomes the truth. That's the Goebbels quote. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't think it's the Goebbels quote. I actually think that this is now the strategy of CNN, that they will continue to say, why won't Trump distance himself from this white supremacy, because they want to repeat that narrative until your mind is numb with the word Trump, white supremacy, Trump, white supremacy. They link it up, a neurological link is formed. Before you know it, people see Trump and associate that word. It's like basic voodoo hypnotism 101 for a good propagandist at the Nazi party. And that's what the left is doing.
I Here's what I love. Here's what I caught him doing. He, in trying to expose this, said the phrase, Trump, white supremacy, a number of times. He was doing the exact thing that he was worried about.
Oh no.
He's creating those associations himself.
Oh, no. Lance, what are you doing?
I wonder if that works. Trump, white supremacy.
Say it three times. Watch out.
Trump, white supremacy.
He's
going to
pop
Beetlejuice.
Out of the closet.
Beetlejuice. Oh.
White supremacist Trump. Show up.
If you turn out all the lights and you light five candles and then you look into a mirror and you say, white supremacist Trump, I think Steve Bannon appears, actually.
Right next to Goebbels.
Right next to Goebbels. Oh, my gosh. He's on to us. He's figured us out. We are using...
It sucks so bad.
We're using Nazi tactics. I love that he's like, you know, I had a vision of Nazi symbols popping up, and none of it had to do with actual Nazis becoming problematic in these United States.
No.
It was just what he discovered was this massive conspiracy on the left of exposing Nazis using Nazi propaganda techniques.
Well, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
It's rough.
They accuse us of a lot of things.
Frankly.
They're just so made up.
Frankly.
And it's not like we don't do some, the left doesn't do the same thing every once in a while to the right.
But totally.
Come on.
I think
if you're a Nazi, you're a Nazi. You can't just like call the left Nazis.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, you're using Nazi tactics to expose our Nazism. So what do you think about that?
Yeah.
We just have the Nazi beliefs.
Right.
We're not using the tactics.
It's just white supremacy.
Right. Don't accuse every white person in America. I love that, too.
Yeah.
As though the left is composed entirely of the non-white people. Has he watched CNN that he's accusing of this? Because it's mostly white.
I don't know, Dan.
They do have some people of color.
They do. Yeah.
And they call them that. They call them people of color instead of... But I would imagine that Lance Wallnau would prefer the older words.
Oh, yes.
For, you know...
I mean...
Colored people
I
is probably...
I don't want to accuse him of more than is... necessary to completely discredit him.
That's true. We don't need to make anything up.
How much more do we need about this guy?
We need nothing. We don't need to make a damn thing up.
Insane.
To make him
right. That's his tact.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's true.
So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, that guy. Well,
we probably should thank some people.
Let's thank some people. You know, that's what we should do. I'm like, what's next on the agenda? What could we possibly do?
Well, I have a little listy thing here.
Hooray!
That I printed out today, and I still haven't figured out how to get it to print larger.
Oh.
So my eyes are still having some troubles with it.
Frank was accusing me of being the one that's getting old.
My eyes are getting old.
Yeah.
I can't get LASIK, Dan.
Well.
For what I got.
Ha ha.
Which was 2020 until 40.
Yeah. That's going to be your that'll
I'm
be
farsighted, Dan.
That'll be your vision memoir, 2020 till 40. A memoir of losing one sight.
Yeah, I know. So okay. it's this thing, Dan.
Okay.
Or you can't get it.
Our
far.
Viewers won't know what you're doing, but our listeners won't know what you're doing.
All right, cool. We have one new faithful member.
Okay.
By the name of Claire. Thank you, Claire.
Thank you, Claire.
And then we have two beatified listeners, Elaine and Rob.
Oh, well, bless you, Elaine and Rob. You are saints among the humans, and thank you all to all of our donors.
Absolutely.
But
everybody,
especially,
there's one
to our Lord and Savior, who is
Angela!
Angela, still reigning champion. Lord and Savior.
Yes.
She's
an angel.
She's an angel.
Yeah.
It's a miracle.
Angela, bless her.
Yes, exactly. And may Angela bless each and every one of you. And if you would like to join the ranks of those who helped keep this thing afloat, who helped us to finally get
video going, and we've got new goals.
Yeah.
The next goals are very exciting. We're going to be touring the country as soon as we can. So help us do that by going to thankgodimatheist.com, clicking on the Patreon tab on the right-hand side of your screen, and then just becoming one of these sainted people that we revere so highly.
Indeed.
In the name of Angela, amen.
Amen.
So, Frank.
Yes, Dan.
I came across this week on the interwebs. I don't know if you know that. They've got everything on there. They've got everything. They've really done it up right.
I know. It's...
It's got...
It's something special.
I came across a series of tweets by someone named Catherine Brightbill, or K.E. Brightbill. That's at K.E. Brightbill if you want to go check it out yourself on the Twitters.
Okay.
Which opened my eyes to something. Because here's the deal. I have been looking at the rise of the alt-right, and especially the white supremacy thing here in the United States, and I've been going, where was this?
Yeah.
Where did this come from?
Yeah.
What... Out of what has this bubbled?
Yeah.
Because it felt, I feel naive saying it, but it felt very out of the blue to me. I knew that the hatred was still there. Yeah. I knew that there was institutional racism.
Yes.
Still hugely problematic. Yeah. And I felt very dialed into that. But I did not feel dialed into this, this resurgence of neo-Nazism, of white supremacy.
Like old-timey, you know,
like just
old-fashioned.
Just hate in your heart.
Yeah.
You're different than me, and I hate you.
Yeah.
Like, I did not see that. Like, I assumed that there were lots of people who were like that. But, right. like, as a like organizing as groups.
Being able to coalesce. Yeah,
wanting to into a movement. Wanting the desire to be out in the open about it and stuff.
Wearing polos and khakis.
It just blew my mind.
Yeah.
This past 6 months or more, right. you know, year going back to the election, I've just been sitting here baffled.
Yeah.
Well, this actually opened my eyes. This series of tweets, she's talking about homeschooling and the fact that when she was growing up, the Christian-based homeschool study materials that she had, history or whatever, was like Jesus heavy and then Confederacy heavy. Had this whole narrative, like venerating Stonewall Jackson and all this stuff, like this whole thing. And I was like, what the fuck? What? And it turns out this goes super deep in religious education and education sponsored by religion. And where that comes from, if you trace it back, there was a great article in Politico called The Real Origins of the Religious Right. Because so many people, like the religious right themselves, they point to Roe v. Wade as sort of the watershed moment of when...
Right.
When the religious, you know, the evangelical Christians of the United States became Republican, tied themselves into the conservative political party of the United States.
Right.
They always point to Roe v. Wade. It wasn't Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade was not, like, abortion was not a big hot button issue for evangelicals until much later. Abortion was, like, actually not a big deal to them, which is shocking to me. It was considered a Catholic issue. The Catholics have a problem with it, not us. For the longest time.
That's really weird.
It's really weird. That it's only since the 60s and 70s that the evangelicals have glommed onto it. Matter of fact, it's really only when, like, late 70s, when they were trying to get President Carter to not be reelected, that they really grabbed onto to the abortion issue.
Right.
Before that, that wasn't the issue.
So what was the issue?
The issue was race. And here's where it started.
So you're saying that's what they
that's what tied that
we're able to the galvanized the movement. Or?
That's what galvanized the movement. Okay. So here's how it plays out. And I did not realize this. After Brown versus the Board of Education ruling was handed down, which basically said that all this, the separate but equal is not okay, and everybody gets the same rights,
okay,
regardless of race,
right?
The same rights to education specifically,
right?
So they had to integrate the schools. They had to they went through all of that stuff. Well, what I didn't realize is that the workaround for the longest time in the South, and probably still to this day in parts of the South, was private schooling, usually religious. And it was whites-only private schooling.
Right, okay.
And that's where a lot of the religious schooling, religious schools sort of became a huge thing because they didn't want their kids going to school with black kids or with, because right. of the race thing. They wanted whites-only education. I had no idea that it was that specific, that it was that was the sticking point that created the movement religiously educating your children. But places like Bob Jones University, what ended up happening was there was a lawsuit originally called Green versus Kennedy, because David Kennedy was the Secretary of the Treasury, and then it switched to Green versus Connolly because John Connolly then became the Secretary of the Treasury. This lawsuit aimed to deny tax-exempt status to any private school that didn't integrate.
Hmm.
Because Brown versus Board of Education was clear.
Right.
And any tax-exempt and any nonprofit organization is a trust of the state, essentially.
Right.
So they have to abide by the laws of the country.
Right, right, right.
Well, they won. And suddenly, and these places, Bob Jones University fought it. At first they were like defiant and just said, hell yeah, we're whites only. That's how we are. We have the religious right to do that and blah, 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 blah. And then they, it was cute. They got themselves a black one. They had a guy that worked in the radio station at Bob Jones. They let him, they enrolled him. And he dropped out after a semester. Gosh, I wonder why. Seems like it would have been such a welcoming place for a person of color.
Yeah.
Then they allowed people of color in, but only married people of color. Why? Because they were terrified of miscegenation. They didn't want anybody dating outside of their race.
Wow.
Then they made it a rule that then there was some sort of rule about you can't even be a part of a group that that advocates for interracial dating. So,
my God,
eventually the district court didn't go for any of these arguments that these guys were making, and basically said, you know what, yeah. Under the Internal Revenue Code, says the decision, properly construed, racially discriminatory private schools are not entitled to federal tax exemption provided for charitable educational institutions. So they were screwed.
Yeah.
But that's the underpinning. Here's what you have to understand. So this series of tweets talked about how the materials that she was using that her parents were using to teach her were produced by Bob Jones University. And
just laced with all this.
This deep ingrained racism.
Right.
You know, the Confederacy were a bunch of heroes.
Yeah.
And this
actually led us to have an interesting conversation, I think, earlier about those specific heroes. And how we've how did we let this happen? I mean, for crying out loud, Stonewall Jackson was on a stamp, a U.S. postage stamp, with Robert E. Lee.
Yeah.
In the 1900s.
Yeah, and Jefferson Davis.
Yeah. How was this ever, like, how were they allowed to keep or to reclaim their heroes?
Well, and we had this in, yeah, we also talked about the fact that, you know, immediately after the Civil War, in these United States, they didn't put up monuments to the Confederacy.
Right.
That did not happen. They shut that down.
Yeah.
It was only in the 20th century when they wanted to sort of resurge their, and galvanize their racism that right. they started to, you know, name parks after Lee or after, you know, after Davis or whatever, or Jackson. And that they started to put up these monuments. These monuments are not as old as people think they are. The monuments that everybody's trying to take down now
right.
are not these deep parts of American history.
Right.
They are newer monuments. Hmm. And that's something that we need to understand is that, like, they are part of a concerted effort to change the narrative.
To legitimize these figures
right.
who fought for a regime that enslaved people.
Right.
And, based on their race.
And when you go to the original Articles of Confederation and when you go to the, you know, each of the states that were joining the Confederation, they all mention slavery. Hmm. It was 1,000% about keeping the institution of slavery in place.
Right.
But this new narrative is that it was about states' rights. And it was about being, you know, it was about having, you know, not having federal overreach. And it became this thing where the feds, you know, these northerners
mm-hmm.
were trying to tell us what to do.
Right.
And we're proud southerners. And you can't tell us what to do.
Right.
And that's an interesting thing also. So in this, you know, back in the 60s and 70s when they're trying to, so now you've got these religious schools hollering about, like, wait, you can't tell us what to do. Mm-hmm. You can't tell us who we can enroll and who we can't. They started to make it, rather than saying, we hate black folks and we don't want them in our schools.
Right.
It's, what about our religious liberty?
Right.
You are infringing our religious liberty. And look, everybody, at how these northerners, these Washington elites are telling us what to do again.
Yeah.
They're telling us who we can and can't put in our schools.
Yeah.
And that was it. It was, yeah. They are cheats. So this is, to me, this filled in some major blanks.
Yeah.
It is, we've got why the religious, the evangelical wing of American religion locked it, that used to be liberal and fell on the Democratic side of things, flopped. I mean,
I don't know that they were ever liberal, but they might have voted. Well, actually, back in the day, they didn't vote.
Well,
that was. I think they were usually typically conservative types.
Well,
but
maybe,
they didn't
but they also,
vote.
But there was also like this wing of them that was all about sort of, you know, Jesus is about giving, and so welfare is important and all these things.
Sure.
Liberal in that way. Socially liberal.
Okay.
And actually liberal on things like they should. Like, I read a whole thing about, well, in this political argument or political article, they talked about how, like, for instance, they had, I can't find the exact quote now, but Southern Baptist Convention's former president and pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas. So one of the most famous fundamentalists of the 20th century was happy when the Roe v. Wade decision came down.
Huh.
He said, quote, I have always felt that it was only after a child was born and had a life separate from its mother that it became an individual person.
Huh.
And it has always, therefore, seemed to me that what is best for the mother and for the future should be allowed.
Wow.
So,
they were just confused about when the soul enters the baby. I mean, that's the issue. And thank God somebody corrected them.
Finally someone sorted them out. But no, I mean, it was a very concerted effort to
galvanize to sort of scoop up all of these people. Yeah, I mean, yeah. They had been trying to whip them up on a whole bunch of issues. There's a quote about from who was it? From Paul Weyrich, who is a religious conservative activist, political activist, co-founder of the Heritage Foundation.
Oh boy.
That's
a fun group.
Yeah, they're cute. Who basically had tried to galvanize people around all of these different issues, and it never worked until these schools started to capture the imagination of all of these evangelicals because of the race thing.
Yeah.
So there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll all be shocked to learn that there's racism in churches.
And in America.
Who could have seen that coming? It feels painfully naive to me that I was not aware of this stuff. But it's been bubbling.
I think we all were painfully naive. I think that there's a whole swath of America of educated liberal types, right? Who just were kind of had a blind eye to the stuff that was bubbling under the surface.
Yeah.
And the forces that were at play in some parts of the country.
And the fact that there are these,
even in our own part of the country.
Right. There are entire groups of people whose education, and I'm using air quotes, was corrupted,
right,
by this. And so they don't know the real history.
Right.
They know this ugly perversion of history.
Right.
From another perspective, our version of history is obviously ugly and perverted because it seeks to not lionize these great, great men in there.
No, the statue's coming down. Good. Finally.
Yeah.
Needs to happen.
Yeah.
And then we need to all get really clear on who these men were and what they did.
Yeah.
And
what they were about.
And what they were all about. And let's be clear, we can talk about what the Confederacy was about.
Yeah.
You can't give it over to the states' rights argument.
Nope.
It was not the war of northerly aggression or whatever.
They wanted the state's right to own people.
Yeah.
That was the right.
Yeah.
So it was about states' rights, just one that you don't get to have. Because that's horrible. Horrible.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, if you'd like to chime in, if you'd like to point out other ways in which we're painfully, horribly naive, feel free to do so. You can write to us, podcast@thankgodimatheist.com.
Or you could call and leave us a voicemail message. The telephone number is 424-666-8442.
Indeed. Go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/TGIAtheist, and see what Mackenzie's been up to.
And while on Facebook, search for the TGIA Members Only Lounge and request to join.
Yep.
All right.
It's a closed group.
Yeah.
But we'll let you in. Don't worry about it.
Absolutely.
Hey, speaking of Mackenzie, thanks to Mackenzie for all of her hard work on the Facebook page. And thanks to Danny, Sarah, and Amy for their hard work moderating the Members Only Lounge.
And thanks to the Red Rock Hot Club and Gordon Johnston for the use of their music.
Yeah. And thank you, dear listener, for tuning in. And dear viewer.
Yeah.
We sure do like it when you do.
Bye-bye.